You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
Here you'll find
the resources and training you
there
need to get
no
started.
There are other online hubs.
I was thinking you were just going to try to derail me, but what you said was
pretty good. No. I'm affirming.
That's good. You're encouraging.
So, yep. That's how I roll. I'm nothing but encouraging.
That must be a new spiritual gift for you.
Well, new. I'm like the son of Barnabas.
Yes. Sorry, go ahead. Definitely. All right. So be sure to go to newchurches.com/campuspastor to check out our newest course on campus pastoring, multi-site ministry. But today we have a question from one of our Charter Plus members, Stafford Greer.
Charter Plus member.
Yeah.
That's one like of our super, and he's on double secret probation.
Yeah.
Like
and he that. Came Charter to our exclusive. Exclusive Charter coaching event last month.
And can I say, I had a lot of fun at that.
That was really,
I was a little concerned about your format where everyone sort of like asked their questions from a stage and all that sort of stuff. But it was awesome.
It was. And we got, the feedback was great in the sense that just being able to get really good interaction. In a sense, it was kind of like a live podcast, right? Because sometimes people submit questions, but we don't have enough context. But what we were able to do at the Charter coaching event was they asked their question. We were able to go back and forth. And I mean, 10 minutes was really sufficient in the time together. So that was fun. And Stafford Greer.
It was very cool.
And he was there. He was one of the ones there. He came with his wife.
What question did he ask? Did he ask a good question or was it a bad question?
They are talking about rule. They're talking about multi-site church planting. So let's listen in.
Hey, this is Stafford Greer. I'm a pastor in rural Manitoba. Our church plant is now just 1 year old, and we're looking at planting another rural church in a community about an hour and a half from here. I was wondering, what are some of the trends that you are seeing in rural church plants, how you see maybe multi-site working in a rural context, and just what are some of the things that you see that people are doing really well in rural church planting? Thanks for all you do. Looking forward to your answer.
So this is something that we've been thinking about and talking about a lot, right, Ed?
Yeah, and I think it's got some real opportunity here because I think, you know, I'm actually in the process of writing an article and going to publish it pretty soon on the rural context. And, you know, we really do find a renewed interest right now. He's Canadian, so maybe less so with the Donald Trump election. But with the election of Donald Trump to the presidency, I mean, a lot of people for the first time, this great article by Trish Warren. She's an Anglican priest, but she writes this article on Christianity Today about the I don't remember the exact title, but basically, I kind of had overlooked rural America until Donald Trump came along, and I think a lot of people did, and so I think people are now paying more attention to the subject, and I think that's a good thing. Of course, Manitoba, Canada's different in a lot of ways. By the way, can I just say, we seem to have a big following in Canada. I think that's all you're doing. We're like David Hasselhoff in Europe. You know, David Hasselhoff is always a big rock star in Europe. So we're like, our podcast
that
is really big
awesome.
In Canada. So that's
well,
right. That's,
you know, being,
consider this
being
the
Canadian,
David Hasselhoff. Yeah.
Well, being Canadian, I mean, moving down to the States, I was like, hey, I was determined that what we do would translate at least north of the border as well, if not even beyond North America. So, I mean, it's been a commitment for us.
Nice. All right, good. So so I would say that, you know, we've been thinking about these issues. We had a Rural Matters Summit recently as well. And I think some of the things he listed are all sort of true. Let me give some big picture trends. One is there what some might call it the kind of the Walmartization of the small town church is that a lot of times large churches are coming in or I mean, I'm not coming in. I mean, large churches are being planted and then they're sort of the big church in the town, like the Walmart's the big store in the town. I hate the consumerism inherent in that illustration, but I think people get it. So I think that's sometimes part of it. I would multi-site. I mean, you know, multi-site, it could be the new circuit rider where you basically have all these different campuses that are much like the old classes when the Methodist preacher would come by and to the different sites. And so, I mean, we do see some of that now. Right now, that's mainly from non-rural churches into rural communities around the edges of maybe the towns and cities where the larger churches are. But I think in years to come, we may see the circuits, if you will, both originate, and I can think of some examples now, both originate and go to rural settings. I think bivocational church planting is going to be key because a lot of communities are, depending on the size, depending on how rural, is the difference between a community of 300 and a community of 3,000, which can still be rural, or 30,000, which depending on how spread out it is, can have rural characteristics. So I think that when you kind of get the picture of rural America or rural Canada in this case, there are a lot of tools in the church planting toolbox for us to utilize.
Yeah, completely. And that's where if you look at examples of who to look out, because we have been talking a lot about this with others. And even in January for our plus members at newchurches.com, we've been focusing on rural church planting and creating resources around that. We had a great webinar with Donnie Griggs, who's the pastor at One Harbor Church. And they are a great example of a rural church doing multi-site, experimenting, trying to figure it out, trying to go longer and longer away from their main campus and seeing how that works. Now, Louis Halbgewachs at onechurch.ca, he's in Saskatchewan. And what's interesting about his story is that before he planted his church, he actually spent about 3 or 4 months, I believe, at Life Church in Oklahoma with his wife. And they were there to kind of study what they were doing and try to figure out, okay, how does this multi-site thing work? What can we learn from Life Church, and how can we kind of translate that into a rural context? And that's where he came up to, and when he planted onechurch.ca, they were trying to figure out how to do this. I mean, they've been trying to figure out how to do it for quite a few years, but it's not until technology is kind of improved and live streaming has become so much cheaper today than it was 5 years ago that they are now beginning to embark on this and doing it in several different locations. But Stafford, I mean, you really are on the cutting edge on this. And when it comes to church planting, when it comes to bivocational ministry, when it comes to multi-site, I mean, the whole idea in a rural context is, hey, you still want to reach the lost. You reach people who are far from God, right? Reach, be a gospel presence there. So the further away you go, how are you going to ensure that you don't come in with this pejorative, hey, we are the thing, now everything's going to be changed, we are bringing the gospel with us, you know, we are the savior of this small little rural town. Like, how are you going to get beyond that and really put down roots right into that and make sure that you have others in your church who are willing to go? So even if it is a multi-site, how do they go with a church planting mindset?
Yeah, I think, and one of the things too that we heard over and over again from even talking to Donnie, and by the way, Donnie and his beard, which is we need a name for it. I think we're going to call it Mordor. Mordor, yeah, the Donnie
beard.
Yeah,
it's the size of a small baby.
It does make me feel a little insecure, just to be perfectly honest. And even with my awesome goatee,
for the first time. I've never heard you admit that.
Dude, there are times when there are three kinds of people in the world, Daniel M. There's men with beards.
Yes, I
women
know.
And boys. And I'm just saying, yes, which are you? Which are you? Anyway, people don't know.
I'm secure.
People don't know
I'm
that
secure,
you are
man.
The beardless one. But anyway.
Yes.
Right, one of the things he talked about is partly is that suspicion of outsiders. You know, and it's interesting. Now, suspicion of outsiders exists everywhere. You know, I was downtown just the other day, and I was kind of waiting, just kind of inviting some people, making some connection, et cetera, et cetera. And in doing so, what I did is I sort of started inviting people to church, passing on some flyers, et cetera, et cetera. But what was interesting is that people were, you know, just dismissive, right? They just, you know, walk by. Most people don't take it, that kind of stuff. But then what changed is that you go to a rural area, they might be initially more responsive, but over the time, even more distant. So I think ultimately the picture you don't want to miss is that people are hesitant everywhere relationally, but it sometimes can be very upfront, like it is in an urban setting, but very deep and time consuming if it's in a non-urban setting. And I think ultimately, that's the picture that we get, is that you just have to build longer term relationships in rural settings.
Yeah, and that's where at our recent CPLF gathering on rural church planting, one of our speakers did share that he believes it's about 7 years or so that it takes to be accepted. It takes about 7 years to be accepted into a community, to be seen as being there for the long term in a rural context, and to really break into that. And it was interesting because it was like, oh, you know, I started asking a few others around there about that 7 year mark. And it's not a magical number, but, you know, just roughly approximately. And it was fascinating to see the agreement that people had around that. So thanks again for listening in to our podcast today. If you have any questions on church planting, multi-site, leadership development, be sure to send that in at newchurches.com. There's a sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, or if you're on your mobile device, you can go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and send that in. We'll catch you next time.